Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Good morning. It is time to skip the BS. It's time for Undisputed. It's time to talk. Did you see that? NBA playoffs? With two of my faves, Rachel Nichols and Paul Pierce. Good morning to both of you. Here we go. Take it easy on me today, you tag team over there. But we will get to Knicks Pacers and Mavs Thunder and LeBron versus Darvin and Clippers implosion and Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell, whoa. Just a few minutes. But first up, those T-Wolves, that Ant-Man. The Minnesota Timberwolves have now won all five of their playoff games, four straight, of course, against the Suns, featuring KD and Book and Bradley Beal, all pretty easily by 25, by 12, by 17, and by 6 over the Suns. And Saturday night, they went into Denver and beat the defending champs by 7, by winning the second half by 11, held the Nuggets to 99 on their home floor in that altitude. What a tour de force it was, with Anthony Edwards looking like the best player in the playoffs, opening and closing that game. And in between, getting amazing contributions from Naz Reid and Karl Anthony Towns and Mike Conley Jr. and certainly Rudy Gobert. And all of a sudden, the T-Wolves are now favored to win this series, even though the Nuggets are still favored by 5.5 in tonight's game 2 in Denver. So, Paul Pierce, are you ready to say the T-Wolves are going to win this series, please?
After one game, Skip?
Yeah.
I mean,
it was some game.
I mean, yeah. I mean, unless you're expecting Anthony Edwards to continue to dominate, I just think the Nuggets, they haven't been tested this playoffs yet. Now is this. This is their first test. But I think the championship experience is going to come out. Joker can't play this bad. And you know the crazy part about it? He scored 32-9. And we're saying he had a bad game because of the turnovers. He's not going to shoot 11 for 25. No. You know, this wasn't your typical Joker game. And Ant-Man's not going to continue to get 43. I mean, he's capable of it, but I don't think he's going to continue to do those things. You know, they lost on their home floor. Denver has shown that they can win on the road in the playoffs. And I think it's going to be a 7-game series, but I still believe that Denver at the end, their experience is going to show. Coaching is going to show in this. They're going to make the necessary adjustments, and they're going to win it in 7. I truly believe that. And I think the only threat, well, let's just say they do lose to Minnesota. I'm picking Minnesota to come out of the West if they lose this series, okay. Actually.
But you're not.
But I'm not.
Okay.
But whoever wins this series is coming out of the West. Okay. And I still got Denver.
Okay.
Period.
But I told you going into this series, Skip, that I had faith in the Denver Nuggets, but it was like 60-40 faith. Maybe it's like 55-45 now. But
fair enough.
To me, there's no question that it is just one game. Defending champs, they have the experience. If it comes down to a game 7, that's on their floor. That really matters, especially with that team. I think it's fascinating that this Nuggets team was built by Tim Conley in the front office. After 10 years, he left Denver and went to Minnesota and immediately set out to build a team that could beat the team he had just built.
By the way, you're the only one giving him national credit for that. I don't hear his name. I don't hear anything about him, but you are correct.
He's the guy who drafted Nikola Jokic in the first place when nobody else knew how talented he was going to be. And this is amazing if you look at the dates. He got to Minnesota in May of 2022. He had made the trade for Rudy Gobert, a trade that, by the way, was, I think it was, what, 5 picks that he gave up, right? Mm-hmm. And among many other things. He made that trade within 2 months, less than 2 months, he had already made this huge deal that, by the way, was ridiculed. At the time, people said he gave up too much, and then certainly over the next year, as things didn't work out the way they had hoped. Oh, man, that's an anachronistic trade. That's something that's the old NBA. People don't give up those number of first-round picks anymore. And it turns out that in a league where the last five MVP awards have been awarded to big man and we're about to have a sixth, you really need to build up your defense against players like Jokic and Giannis and Joel Embiid if you were going to win a title. So I think it is the forward-thinking nature of the way this team was built. It puts a little bit of a spotlight on front offices, which I don't think we talk about enough when we talk about why NBA teams win. That is just as important a component. Do you have a savvy front office? And I think that has allowed them, along with the emergence of Anthony Edwards, to compete at this level. I still have to think, though, that Denver's going to do what Paul said. Coach Michael Malone is excellent. He's going to make adjustments.
Yeah.
Jokic is excellent. He's going to be more careful with the ball. And by the way, the alley-oops between him and Gordon are going to be a little bit more crisp. So I just think that there's ingredients there for Denver to get back into this series. But you have to be super impressed with not only Ant, but the way the Nuggets are structured.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, absolutely. Okay. I'm with both of you. I had Denver in seven. I'm sticking with Denver in seven. I think Saturday night had something to do with the Lakers series because I believe that the Denver Nuggets got lulled to sleep by being able to come out and sort of shrugging and yawning and saying, okay, let them have a little lead here, and then we'll get serious about this. Yeah. And all five times, actually, one time they couldn't quite pull it off, but if we date back to last year, going back nine games against the Lakers, they've fallen behind every time, and obviously eight out of nine times they came back and won because they can, because the Lakers play pretty sorry defense compared to this bunch.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you took it up about three levels on defense on Saturday evening in their building, and I don't think they were quite ready. So they came out, and Paul, you know how it feels to try to repeat. It's hard, man. Yeah. It's hard. You're a little out of gas, and you're saying, let's save a little bit for the conference finals and the finals, and let's pace ourselves. And against this team, you can't pace yourselves the way you could against the Lakers. All right, I'm going to give the T-Wolves one point here, and it's a big point because I'm a Jaden McDaniels fan, and he went 0-7 in this game, and they still won by 7. I don't think he's going to go 0-7 tonight or going forward because he doesn't. In the closeout game against Phoenix, he had 18, and he's highly capable of getting you 18 on any given night because he's arrived as a piece to this puzzle that you should be able to trust. So that was shocking to me, and I don't think we'll see that. Other than that, I don't know how Minnesota can play a better game than they played on Saturday night. I don't know how you could piece it together anyway. You couldn't script it any better because you got Anthony coming out in the first quarter. What did he give you, 16 in the first quarter?
Yeah, he came out dominating.
Okay.
He got too confident early.
He did. Well, he got his rhythm, and he got his confidence, and he got his swagger, and all of a sudden, that set the tone, and then in the third quarter, the shock to me was, I'm looking at these numbers. Cat comes out and goes 5-for-5 and scores 11 in the third. And Mike Conley Jr. comes out of nowhere. Not that he isn't capable because he's been doing this for a long time. He makes all four of his shots in the third quarter, and that's 11 points. Well, you've just smacked them right in the mouth when they thought they were going to turn it back on. Okay, now we get to Jamal. Is he hurt or not hurt? I don't know because I never know. But he's got a calf that he tweaked or pulled or strained or something happened against the Lakers. Did it stop him against the Lakers? Obviously not, because he still came back and hit the walk-off shot. Okay, so in the first half the other night, he scored zero, and that just doesn't happen. He's not a zero first-half guy. Is he going to score zero in the first half tonight? I don't think so, because he came back with 17 in the second half the other night. But when you strike, and then they strike back with Karl Anthony Towns and Mike Conley, it's hard, man. Which brings me to Naz Reid. So in the fourth quarter, out of the blue, not that he isn't the sixth man of the year, but I didn't see 14 coming, but I didn't see 10 straight points coming. And I think we have the 10 straight points. And it starts with a lucky shot. Remember, he glassed a three-pointer. He accidentally banked it in.
Just banked it in.
And it was heavily contested. Okay, and that was a killer because it put them up three, and I think it sort of crushed Denver's spirit at that point. And then he gets the follow dunk. And then that was pretty easy.
Yeah.
This is Naz Reid taking the game over, and then he swished that one, so he right back on track. And
I feel good about my Sixth Man of the Year vote.
Yeah, there. Did you vote for him?
I did.
Good for you. Okay, and then Ant-Man takes over down the stretch, and he scores eight. He scored four from the free throw line, but that one jumper that he created on his own, it was big time.
Yeah.
Slammed the door, cold-blooded dagger. I don't know. It doesn't get a whole lot better than that. So I saw a stat. He was in this game 7 of 10 on heavily contested jumpers.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's hard to beat, man,
yeah.
As you know. I'm sure you had some games where you were 7 of 10 on heavily contested, where you were just out of your mind, right?
Yeah, he's taking advantage of the matchup. He's the bigger, he's only listed at 6'4", I believe, but he looks like he's 6'8 out there,
yeah.
The way he backs his man's there.
Yep.
He plays an old school style game. And what I mean by that, he backs his man down, turns around, hits the jumper. He's not afraid to get into the mid-range area, which we don't see a lot of these players do these days. I mean, he's just becoming this dominant force. And it's just like we're saying Denver, it's because I don't think our mind can really wrap it around this guy being the guy already at 22. When we start talking about face of the league, you know, obviously we're at the end of an era. LeBron, Curry, KD, and then you figured the guys who are going to usher into the next wave of guys who are going to be faced, Luka, Joker, Tatum, Ja Morant, and then you got this guy who's behind them. Well, it looks like right now he's trying to skip the line.
Yeah.
like serious, like, because if he beats Denver and somehow gets to the finals, he's skipping all these other guys who I said were right behind.
So instead of skip the BS, he's skipping the line.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, we wasn't ready for this jump yet.
Yeah.
And I'm still, it's tough for me to wrap my mind around this. You know,
Have you or not?
I don't know, Skip. Yeah. I don't know what to think. I saw him go for 43, and I'm like, what's going on here? The kid is only 22.
Well, he's got a confidence that belies him being 22 years old, right? He already is behaving like he is Luka's age or maybe even older. And that is something that normally when we see a guy come into the league and be 21 and 22, even his fourth year, you think, okay, in these big, big situations, he's going to have to feel his way out. Anthony Edwards has to feel nothing out. He is feeling himself, right? He already knows. He knows when he walks on there how he is going to feel. And it's not just in game one with the heavily contested jumpers.
Yeah.
Heavily contested jumpers, he's shooting 53% for the entire playoffs. That's a shooting percentage you guys would be thrilled with on any jumper.
Okay, can he sustain?
I mean, look, I'm
That's
with Paul. The thing
That's
that
the-
he can't. You cannot have a career high every night. That's why it's a career high, right? We make the distinction because it is something unusual. So he is not going to do that every night. Is he still going to be a huge presence and someone that the Denver Nuggets have to spend energy accounting for? Absolutely, every night. This kid has no quit. He has a killer instinct. He is 22, so there's no tired in him, Paul. You remember being an older player and going against those 22, 23-year-olds, right, and how that felt. So I think he is going to be a danger this entire series. I would just expect Denver to raise its own level because, to your point, I mean, I just don't see that there's that much more room for Minnesota to go to, whereas Denver has a lot more room.
A whole lot more room. Although, Joker said that he needs to have, he called it a duplicate clone of myself. I think that's redundant, but we just need one. We just need a clone, right? He needs one more Joker because they got a three-headed monster of 7-foot guys that they could throw at him. And it looked like they found more success with Karl Anthony on him so that Gobert can just roam and play center field or free safety or whatever. How tall is he? 7'2" or whatever. And it makes it hard on Joker because he looks to pass it, and then he's forcing passes. Mm-hmm. He only averaged 4 assists a game in the 4 regular season games. Against the Lakers, he was averaging in the last 9, 10 assists. And he had 7 turnovers, as you pointed out, because he's forcing passes to teammates that aren't really open like they were against the Lakers, right? So he's up against it, and he doesn't have another Joker or even a reasonable facsimile, right?
I mean, the question to him that elicited that quote was, hey, how do you go ahead against this three-headed monster? to which his point was, well, I need more heads myself.
Right? Yeah,
I need another guy. And this comes back to how the roster was built specifically for him. I mean, this was built as a Jokic-killing roster. And the Naz Reid component is, you know, I voted for him for Sixth Man of the Year for two reasons. First of all, I thought all through the season he showed that. But also when Kat got hurt, and the way he was supposed to step up.
Yeah,
we say next man up in this league all the time. Well, he proved it. He showed it. He showed that he is as good and able to fill that role. So it is a three-headed, not just two-headed monster. But that also goes back to the Anthony Edwards factor, too, which is crazy when you're talking about big men. Anthony Edwards' emergence has allowed this team to organize itself in a way that they were not able to do last year. When we look at some of the conflicts last year and the Rudy Gobert and the Karl Anthony Towns and whose turn is it and who's the leader and all of that other kind of stuff, Anthony's ascension has meant that those are just not questions anymore. Mm. He, at 22 years old, has so much charisma, has so much style, and has the game to back it up. He is the leader of this team. And you saw him on the podium during the last series saying to Karl Anthony Towns in front of the world, stop fouling, right? He used language stronger than that. I'm not going to use that on this program.
Yep.
But he said multiple times, stop fouling. And Karl has had some sensitivity before, but he wasn't sensitive to that. To Ant, because everyone knows, hey, Ant's the guy. He's the leader, and he's saying it in a loving, joking way. And the fact that Anthony Edwards has been able to mix both that bravado with also clear respect for his teammates has allowed guys like Karl Anthony Towns to do the exact thing you were just saying last night and free up Gobert.
So, Paul, I understand your back and forth about Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Every time I watch a game that he plays, he looks a little better than he did last time. That's
how
fast he's getting better and better and better. Because he used to be so raw.
Yeah.
He used to be not very good from three. And now I'm looking through these five games, he's shooting 44% from three. That's unguardable if you can do that. And to your point about the guard
attacking the basket, too. That's pretty unguardable. Because I know me as a player, when if my three-point was falling, I'm unstoppable. Because you got to run me off the three, and I was good at going to the basket. And he's way better than I was getting to the basket because his athleticism, the way he finishes, he hangs in the air. And I get what KG said a few weeks ago. He's like 84 Jordan. And people were like, no, just because you heard the word Jordan, you couldn't wrap your mind around it. But if you think about who 84 Jordan was, he was a young, explosive, to the basket. He wasn't the winner yet, but he just had this brashness about him. And you're seeing those things in this kid. And like I said, he's just an anomaly. He's an anomaly right now. I can't wrap my head around him being the guy right now. You know, because if they win this series, I don't know what to think of this guy. Is he the best player in the league? If he goes on to average 35 versus the Nuggets, I mean, like, is he going to be the face? I mean, I don't, it's just so many questions that he's disrupting everything that's going on right now in the NBA. He's the one disruptive because no more of our old guys are in no more. Mm-hmm. So, right, take them, LeBron, KD, AD, Curry, they're not in no more. Mm-hmm. Now you got this young disruptor coming in like, you know, it's a new sheriff in town, guys. It's time to lay down. It's time to lay down. And that's what I'm seeing from him. And it's still tough for me to be like, all right, you know, is he the best two guard in the league over, you know, guys like Booker, over guys like Jimmy Butler now? Over guys like Jalen, is he the best two guard?
I mean, look,
now?
He just went up against him in the playoff series.
But it's like, I can't.
And we saw what happened.
It's like, he's, like I said, he's disruptive right now. And I don't know what.
It's going to be interesting on the Olympics and Team USA this summer because.
Does he start on that team?
If you are Steve Kerr, I think with the way these playoffs have gone, you have to start him over
seriously.
Booker. And that is
and
going
what
to be.
And what does he credit for his instant growth was Team USA last summer, right? Mm-hmm. Because he was the man for that team.
Yep. Yeah, he did.
And he learned how to play basketball at a higher level.
Yeah. Being around those guys. And by the way, that's only going to increase when you are around the Team USA is ratcheting up from the sort of more JV version that was in the World Championship.
Now he's going to be able to practice with the Masters.
Yeah.
But all of the four-headed masters, you know, now he's going to see them in practice. So you think he's good this year, and we don't know how this year is going to end with him. It could end with him winning a championship. Then he's going to go this summer and get some more tutelage from the masters.
Yeah.
And if he gets any better, he continues to climb at this rate.
Okay.
It's going to be a lot to talk
about. All right. I give you that. but we are still very early mm-hmm. in these playoffs. And all I know is that in the two fourth quarters of the games they lost to Denver this yeah. year, he scored zero in both those fourth quarters. Zero by Anthony Edwards in those two fourth.
Yeah.
But I will give you this. Given the magnitude of a game one at that altitude yeah. in that building, in that city against the defending champs on Saturday night, the way he closed that game yeah. was, I'll give you early Jordan-esque. I'll give you early
Kobe.
I'll give you early Kobe-esque. I'll give you that. Because we just saw LeBron and AD and company. They could not do that.
Exactly.
They could not close. They could not overcome. They could not rise above Jamal Murray in the fourth quarters. And Jamal was Jamal in the fourth quarter. And Anthony was better. He had help, but he was a little better. And they won the fourth quarter 33-28. That's all I know. And that was impressive.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm still confused.
I don't think Jamal Murray is Anthony Edwards. I mean, they're very different personalities and players, but Jamal Murray is tough. He is a tough, tough player yeah. and personality, and I would expect him to feel like he needs yeah. to have an answer to come out in game two. And
well,
I
he better him, have it in the first quarter and the second quarter.
I expect yeah. him to deliver at some yeah. point. I would expect Nikola Jokic, who is a very competitive guy, as laid back as he seems, as mm-hmm. much as we say, oh, it's just, you know, basketball is his second favorite sport. He is a guy who takes a lot of pride in his work. And yes. I think they are going to spend a lot of time looking at this film about how the Timberwolves were able to disrupt, especially those lobs, right, that make up such a, like, yeah. momentum, fire-starting kind of moments for Jokic to Aaron Gordon. They're going to look at how to get those back on track.
Yeah.
Nikola Jokic is one of the rare basketball players that can do what great quarterbacks can do. He can throw guys open with his passes. And he wasn't doing that as much in game one. And I think that they were mentally worn down by that Lakers series, too. I think the sort of heaviness of the Nuggets, LeBron and Lakers rivalry and you know, who's your daddy and all of the pressure and all of that other kind of stuff was a big sort of emotional dump, you know, dumping ground for, hey, this is where we're putting all of our energy. And then now you've got a new series, a fresh page, and I think they are newly focused.
All right.
This was a wake-up call.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? I can see this. And they let their guard down because when you come from a series where you're matched up and it's LeBron and AD, just off of that, you're emotionally into it. You're ready. You're like, this is the stars of stars right
okay,
now.
But they're not playing defense. They're just playing offense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
But then you come into the Timberwolves and you're like, there's no AD or LeBron. So the magnitude of the hype around it is big.
Okay.
And so I could have seen it. Just human nature, you kind of just kind of, it's like a letdown almost. Like going to see going to a five-star restaurant, and then the next day you go to, next week you go to a four-star. But it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's just not the same. And so now I think they'll be ready. They'll make the necessary adjustments to what they need to do. Because now, Ant-Man, he's no longer a B-lister. He's an A-list. He's an A-list player. So I know the Denver Nuggets better get ready.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to assert once again, I don't think the T-Wolves can play any better than they played mm-hmm. on Saturday. Because if I take out Jaden McDaniels from the starting lineup and I assume that sort of Naz Reid played the starter role for him, then I look at what the five combined, that they shot 40 of 79. That's almost 60%. It's too good. It's not what Denver usually allows.
Yeah.
And they will come out readier tonight.
Yeah.
I think they will win fairly convincing tonight, and then we'll start to see what happens when they go to Minnesota.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree.
Okay, we got to talk some LeBron. We didn't get to talk about Darvin Ham fired after our show on Friday. How much did LeBron have to do with firing Darvin Ham?
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Ball back down.
Ramona Shelburne reports that LeBron James and Darvin Ham clashed early in the season because Darvin wanted to restrict LeBron's minutes, and that plan was quickly scrapped. So, Rachel, how much do you think or believe or know that LeBron had to do with this firing?
Look, I do not think that LeBron James called up Rob Pelinka or Jeannie Buss and said, I'm not coming back if you bring Darvin Ham back. I don't know, but that is not my impression of what has happened there. Did LeBron James and Anthony Davis make it pretty clear over the past few months that they had lost some faith in Darvin Ham? Absolutely. You don't need to go back to the beginning of the season. It was great reporting by Ramona, but you don't even need to go back that far. You can look at just the last couple months. You can look at this playoff series. You had Anthony Davis calling out the coaching staff in the middle of the series. You had LeBron hopping up and down on the sidelines because he was mad that Darvin didn't challenge a call. That is not the way a player who has enormous respect for their head coach talks to their head coach in front of everybody, right? So I think we saw which way this was going. However, even if a coach has, quote, lost the locker room, and I would argue he didn't lose the whole locker room. I think he lost the biggest names. We usually say if that's happened, you got to get rid of the coach, right? I mean, that is the way the NBA works. Even then, though, you have to have an idea in mind of who you're going to get to replace him. And is that person in your head better than what you have? And I just am not sure with some of the names that I've been hearing from plugged-in reporters.
I would agree.
If there's a guy who they're considering who is so much better, because
there's not that name like,
was never going to happen, right? Yeah. He has expressed over and over this season, I want to stay with the Clippers. The Clippers have expressed that they want to keep him. There's already been reporting about an extension in the works.
Yep.
There you go. Jason Kidd, The Athletic reported this morning, the Mavericks have now extended Jason Kidd and signed him to a big new deal. You know who that's about? That is about LeBron James and the Lakers, right? Mm-hmm. Jason was on that staff and obviously a big favorite, a player's coach. They wanted to make sure, we are keeping him here in Dallas. So you're not getting those guys. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the other names that have been reported, right? We hear about these guys who I have to think about the connection LeBron or AD has with them. And I can't say automatically, oh, yeah, man, they're going to vibe the way that they didn't with Darvin. That doesn't necessarily jump out at me. Doesn't mean that one of these other guys can't do it. But there's not an obvious guy that makes me think, yeah, man, get rid of Darvin Ham because we got so-and-so on deck. I would not go with a first-time coach in this situation. I just think that the Lakers' runway is too short to bring in anyone who has the learning curve of being a head coach for the first time. So then you're looking at guys who've done it before. I don't know, Paul, what your names are you're going to throw out. To me, I would think Scottie Brooks or Mark Jackson might be the guys who've dealt with high-level talent before who could step in. But again, you have to have faith they're going to be better than what you have for a guy who had already been in the system for a couple of years.
Yeah, I agree. Well, anytime you step into coaching LeBron, it's the least stable job there is in the game of basketball. It's the least stable job. I mean, this is going to be his fourth coach in, 6 years now coming up? I mean, I believe it's like the ninth coach in 21 years.
It's quite a long time.
Yeah, but look how many head coaching turnovers he's had. Like, probably more than anybody in NBA history. And it goes to what I'm saying, it's the least stable job. I don't see nobody running to take this job, at least somebody who's respected in the coaching game. So that's why we're hearing names like J.J. Redick, a guy who they draw plays on their podcast together. You know, I think that was just a test to see if, you know, what J.J. thought of the plays that LeBron had. But I really can't think of anybody who would even want this because you're looking at a short stretch. Mm-hmm. And I say like 3 years maximum with LeBron. Who's going to be the puppet this time? You know, that's pretty much what it is, a puppet job. You know, because like when LeBron is not happy with you, you're out of there. If you're not doing what he says, you're out of there.
Yeah.
If you're not floating to the beat of his drums, you're gone. So LeBron had 100%. He was 100% responsible for this firing. I'm sure maybe he didn't go up there to Rob Pelinka, but he told Rich Paul that, hey, this ain't working. At some point during the season,
agreed.
Some point after the season, you know, the message got back, and that's why it took a couple days. He was gone right after the season. They knew this was like once the Lakers were down in the series, it was like, this is it. If they don't give us the series, so he was 100% involved in this, and I just can't even put. I mean, the best person probably for this job is probably Maverick Carter. I mean, you might as well have him coach.
You know what? I might vote for that. He might do pretty well.
Right.
I think LeBron would listen to him, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. Somebody he respects and listens to.
All right. I don't want to dump it all on LeBron's doorstep because, to your point, I think AD was in lockstep with LeBron. And if you lose both of them, you lose your job. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, he lost both of them. I'm going to go back to Ramona, the first point that we talked about. Clearly, it's not just Darvin trying to restrict LeBron's minutes. It goes up to Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka. The whole organization, I'm sure, looked at him as you go into age 39, year 21 in this league, and you say, let's try to pull it back just a bit so we can have you full force because we feel like you hit the wall and ran out of gas against Denver in the conference finals. Let's not rinse and repeat that again. So clearly, let's hold you down to maybe 30-ish minutes to start the year. Mm-hmm. No, I got to score points because he's got big goals to reach and their career longevity goals. And so there's no way he's going to pull back on his minutes.
No.
So I'm not going to dump that on Darvin's doorstep either. Mm-hmm. And yet LeBron winds up playing, if you just average it per game, the fifth most minutes in the league. That's just like basketball suicide to me. It's not mm-hmm. smart. Mm-hmm. It's they don't have anybody who can save LeBron from himself.
Right.
And I get it. He wants to go over 40,000 because it's impressive, man. Every time I say that, it comes out of my mouth. I think 40,000
yeah.
points?
Yeah.
How do you do that? How do you last that long and play at this high level?
Right.
And I'm going to say it again. LeBron himself looked 39 going on 29 for most of this year. Mm-hmm. I give you that. But in the end, I'm with you. It just comes down to what LeBron thinks. And yet, I like Darvin. I like him personally. So maybe I'm leaning a little bit toward he didn't deserve this more than I should. But I don't think he deserved it. Because if you look at his playoff performance as the head coach, four times last year, they were right there in the fourth quarter against the team that is about to go win it in the conference finals. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that I can see. And it wasn't Darvin's fault that LeBron was just not very good in those four fourth quarters. He shot 7 of 23 and 1 of 10 from 3. And in the closeout game here in L.A., LeBron had the ball in his hands. He had two last shots to tie it. And for whatever reason, he just didn't pull it off. Mm-hmm. That's not Darvin's fault because I don't know how you could ask for much better against a team that most people thought was much better than you are.
Yeah.
And then five times this year against Denver in the first round where you had LeBron fresh. That was all Keyshawn talked about for a month. I just want LeBron fresh for the first round, right? And he got him. And five times, they're right there. One time they closed the deal. And four other times, they didn't close the deal. Well, it wasn't Darvin's fault that LeBron missed a wide-open three-point shot that could have changed the whole series, just flipped it on its head in game two at Denver. And it definitely wasn't Darvin's fault that LeBron, in the fourth quarter of game one, I don't know what was going on. He just checked out. I don't know what happened,
yeah.
but he just did. Well, that's not Darvin's fault. Can I fault Darvin for looking like a bystander half the time, standing up near the bench? Like, I don't know, because LeBron has the highest IQ in basketball. How do you tell him no? And then it looks so bad for Darvin in the fourth quarter of, what was it, game four, when LeBron just threw a fit. And obviously, LeBron was 1,000% right.
Yeah.
You should have challenged that.
Yep.
And then Darvin seemed to lose his equilibrium, and
yeah.
then he's challenging the Austin Reeves call and the AD call, and it cost him the timeout
yeah.
at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got it. But to your point, Paul, it always comes down to LeBron, and he is difficult to coach, but he's a blessing to have, blessing, curse to have
to
coach. And I'm sure people would line up to try to pull this off. But to your point, do they have somebody in their back pocket we don't know about? Is there a name that we're not seeing?
Right.
I don't see one. There's not been one suggestion where I say, voila. Eureka, that's the guy,
right.
because he can do,
he's
Ty
not,
Lue would
that
be
guy,
the guy.
That
but
guy's
he's
not available right
yeah.
now.
Right. I mean, my hope is that the
yeah.
Lakers organization, when they look over and make this decision, they not only look at who is the best guy for this job now, but they maybe review their approach. The Lakers have had 6 coaches in 13 years. You talk about, how many coaches LeBron has had over a certain amount of time. The Lakers have had six coaches in 13 years. That is not a recipe for success.
I don't think Jeannie is like unstable.
No, she's not. But she does leave, and we want this from owners, by the way, is she leaves a lot of it in the hands of her front offices, and that's what we want team owners to do. And in a place like Los Angeles, and we saw this for years in New York as well, there is so much external pressure. There's so much media attention. There's so much vociferous fan attention. It is a crazy environment to have to work in. And in New York, for years, we saw all kinds of turnover in places where they could have used stability because of that crazy environment, and they didn't have the backbone from the organization to say, nope, we're going to stay the course. And that is what Leon Rose brought. And I do think that the Lakers organizationally need to have a little bit more of that attitude. I was covering the Miami Heat a lot when LeBron was down there, and there was a point where there was a bit of a, you know, sort of, oh, who has control of this team?
There was.
Eric Spoelstra's and LeBron James. Pat Riley put his foot down in a way that maybe only Pat Riley can, but he said, uh-uh, this is my guy. You got to work it out because he is going to be the coach here. And I don't know if someone had said that to the star players on this team, and it is both of them, about Darvin Ham, whether that would have flown or not. Eric turned out to be one of the great coaches in the league and had been with the organization since he was a video assistant, so it's a little bit of a different situation. But there is a point where the organization has to back one of these coaches, and hopefully it's the next guy, to say, you know what? If we as an organization decide LeBron needs to play less minutes, that's not going to be the coach's fault.
No.
That is a organization-wide fault, and we are going to have stability here in L.A. And I just hope that the Lakers, which are such a great storied franchise, can take more of that attitude with the next guy, because that is what creates winning basketball.
Yeah, it does.
Michael Malone talked about that last year after winning the finals as well. He said, there was times where if I was in any organization other than this one, they would have fired me. But they stuck with me, he said, after winning. And that's how we're here right now. And I do think that matters.
But our pressure comes with LeBron everywhere he goes. You know, it's win now. It's win or bust. No matter what seat they are, it's win or bust with them. And so that's the pressure he brings. And you got to understand that when you're hired, when you come in. That's why, like, the J.J. Redick thing doesn't make sense. No experience. If you're talking about this window, it's 3 years for LeBron.
Maybe two.
And maybe we don't know what that window is. He could retire right now, you know, so, you know, then it'll make sense.
So, Paul, what if you're Rob Pelinka and LeBron comes to you this afternoon and he says, you know what, I've been checking out JJ on this podcast and he's really smart and we really see the game the same way. I want to go with him. Would you go?
No experience whatsoever. But Steve Kerr didn't have experience either.
No.
You know, I think your head coach is only as good as your assistants. You know, so it depends on who your assistant coaches are going to be also. With JJ is a guy that, as long as he respects him, because that's what I think you need for LeBron. If he's going to respect JJ Redick in that position, then fine. He's not going to roll over him and talk to him like he did Darvin Ham and be all demonstrative in the middle of the court there embarrassing him. If that's what you need to have or to have a head coach that you respect in the locker room leading the charge, then let's do it. Let's do it. But at that point, we got to make sure we get the right assistance for him.
Look, the difference with Steve Kerr, though, is he was coming into a team with two young guys in Klay Thompson and Steph Curry at the time. Not a guy like LeBron, where it's a ticking clock. Even AD is at a point in his career where he wants to and needs to win now.
And by the way, those two young guys had been nurtured and taught at the highest level by Mark Jackson.
To me, he is a name that people should be talking about more for this job. Scotty Brooks is a guy who had those young Thunder teams where he really made such an impact and was able to really elevate those guys quicker and ahead of schedule than they should have been.
Yeah.
And so I think he is someone they should look at. And look, if J.J. Redick is LeBron's guy and that's who he wants and he comes to them and he says, this is who I want, this is the guy, which, by the way, LeBron doesn't tend to do things that directly, but let's say that that happens. I think that the answer back from the franchise is, okay, but then this is the guy for the rest of your time here.
Okay, that's
fair.
Are
you convinced that you are signing on for three, if we're going to sign you for 3 years for $162 million, whatever it was, million dollars, are you going to be okay with him for 3 years? Because we'll take your, Paul, you had a voice in who was coaching teams when you were at the height of your career, and you there were coaches that came in and out of Boston.
Yeah.
But it's okay for a star player and two star players to have a voice in who's coaching the team.
Exactly.
But you have to, as an organization, sit there and say, great, We're going to have to stick with this one, though, especially okay. if you have the track record of 6 coaches in 13 years.
All right. So LeBron never has quite enough help, so let's get him some more help. You have brought up the name Donovan Mitchell. So I watched Donovan on Friday night at Orlando, yesterday at Cleveland, game 6, game 7.
Perfect winds fit up, for the Lakers.
Well,
man. It's not happening, people.
The point is, how?
Cleveland Cavaliers, of all franchises, where the ownership has an issue with LeBron
right.
for more than a decade. Even when he came back to that team, things mm-hmm. never defrosted, right? You think that they are going to trade the guy who they thought was they're going to be their franchise player for the next 5 to 10
hey,
years
but look, hey,
to LeBron so he can go win a title? Not happening.
But then down the road, you're going to have to deal with maybe one of his clients. Maybe you got to look. Hey, you can't hold grudges forever as owners, because as much as you might not like LeBron, he has a hold on this league on and off the court.
I'm not saying it's the smartest thing to do. I'm
yeah,
just
exactly.
saying
so,
that predictability tells me that
so they
from
might
the way they've
deal,
interacted.
They might want to work with him. They might want to deal with Lakers and LeBron mm-hmm. again. Because now you get this big free agent that's under Clutch Sports. Oh, you know what? We're not going to Cleveland. You know, we're not going to go there.
Don't tend to go to Cleveland that often anyway. LeBron was an anomaly when he came back. And by the way, we saw what Portland did to Damian Lillard, where they said, you are not going to go somewhere. We don't want you to go. You're not demanding your own trade. And they found another way to get rid of him.
Well, I believe Donovan
has
like an option this year.
Mm.
He can opt out, right?
I don't think so.
He has 1 year guarantee.
I think he's locked up.
But he's not signing the extension, though. Mm. So, like, you don't want to lose a player for nothing. Yeah. So you might be forced to trade him this
summer.
There's
other places you could trade him. You know who has a lot of assets? The San Antonio Spurs.
They
would you
do.
Like to see him with Victor Wembanyama?
Yeah.
I would.
Okay.
I'd love to see that. You know who has assets? The Thunder. Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's a little bit of a position match there with Shane.
Yeah.
But there's teams out there who could offer. As much as the Lakers are restocking their cupboards starting on draft night, they will have 3 first-rounders. They can make salary room with some of the guys who I assume will be let go. They don't have ultimate flexibility, and there are teams out there with a ton of flexibility and a ton of picks.
I just kept hearing Donovan was so unhappy in Cleveland. And I got to tell you, yesterday in the fourth quarter, he did not look
fine.
Unhappy to me.
No, he's still going to play the game.
Yeah. Okay.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Through 5 playoff games, Anthony Edwards has announced his superstar status by averaging 34 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists while shooting 53% from the floor and 44 from 3 and 87 from the free throw line. Those will work. We have heard several ex-players compare Ant-Man to Jordan. So, Paul, are we looking...
Jordan.
Okay. Just that.
That's very important.
That's the comparison.
But can you say that we might be looking at the greatest player ever? Is that possible?
No, it's too early to start talking about that. I mean, right now we got to enjoy that, what I said earlier, he's skipping the line of stardom. I mean, he could easily be the face come next year, depending on how this playoff run goes. You know, he got the shoes out now. He's playing with this ferociousness, this tenacity.
He is.
The nastiness that you don't see from players now. The competitive spirit. I mean, he's checking so many of the boxes that it's going to be hard not to put him at the front of the line pretty soon, if not this year, say Minnesota wins it. He has the charisma. I mean, just him talking to Kevin Durant. Like when I saw that, like, just flexing at Kevin Durant, and I mean, just as a
he
kid,
did.
And then outplaying him.
Yep.
It's just like like I said earlier, I'm stuck right now. I don't know where to put him in the hierarchy of the players today. You know, today, because, you know, we might see him in the Olympics, and he over here telling LeBron, swing the ball. Like,
right.
It's my, like.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? He's on that level.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, no, not greatest ever, not next Jordan. He's carving his own path, and we're loving it right now. I sure am enjoying it because he's you still can't believe he's 22 years old. Like, I'm looking like, this guy's 22. I mean, he's built like he's about 28. I mean, he's been in the weight room. He's strong. He's explosive. But he's definitely shaking things up. He's shaking the league up.
He is.
I mean, I'm speechless when I watch him. Every game. Every game I'm watching, like, this kid is good. And I thought during the season, he's good. You know, they were number one seed during the regular season at some point. You know, they were bouncing between one, two, and three.
And the last game.
You know, he never really got the MVP talks going for him. You know, a lot of it was for Shea and, you know, Tatum, Luka. He never got those MVP talks, but he's quietly was on the number one, two, three team in the league all year long. I didn't expect that from Minnesota coming into this year. I didn't see them as a top four seed in the West, and he's led them to that. So at the end of the day, he's checking a lot of boxes for me as, you know, being the face, being next in line and skipping the line and all of this. But I'm going to wait till this playoff run is over. I'm going to wait till this series is over. After this series, if they win this, then he takes one more step toward where we think he can go.
Yep.
And so I'm going to wait on that. Obviously, we're prisoners of the moment. The game won 43-point all. That was so Jordan-esque. Yes, of course. Yes, it was. So I'm going to wait on that and see how this series goes. But I like what I'm watching from this kid.
Look, I don't think there's any question anymore that he has a ton of similarities to that 84, 85, 86 Jordan, right? I mean, the package that this guy has, it's not just the talent on the court, although that's, of course, the main part of it, but his approach. It's having that youthful exuberance and bravado mixed with a very mature and sophisticated ability to read a game and know what's going on in the middle of a game. It is the mix of being able to be like, I'm the leader of the team at 22, while also showing the respect for his teammates that has made Cat buy in. He can say to Cat on the podium, stop fouling, because he has also spent the entire season saying, we don't win without Cat. He's sitting there saying, Cat's our best player, even though we all know that Cat's not their best player anymore, but the fact that he's going out and saying it over and over, he knows what to do on the court, and the charisma is off the charts. He is the number one sneaker in the country. That's not an accident.
No.
That is Jordan-esque, right? But I will still say, as self-determined as Michael Jordan was, a lot of things still had to go right for Michael Jordan. He had to wait until arguably the best coach in the history of the game came to coach his team. Scottie Pippen had to be there. There were a bunch of other factors. Right now, Anthony is benefiting from having a very strong organization. He had a good coach. He has a good coach who was on a lot of people's Coach of the Year ballots. Obviously, the front office. We've already talked about Tim Connelly and what a tremendous job he did building Denver and now building this team. Mm-hmm. He's got who is going to be the four-time Defensive Player of the Year there. I mean, there's a lot of people on that team who take pressure off Ant and let him be who he's going to be. Minnesota is in the middle of a big fight over ownership. There are already rumors and reporting that if the Alex Rodriguez team comes in, they're going to slash the payroll. Well, that will change the circumstances of Anthony Edwards' team. So before I'm going to say he's going to reel off six titles, and by the way, there's a reason that's so hard. We haven't seen someone else come along and do what Jordan did. In this era, that I can't say that, but I can say that he has the ingredients there, and I'm very excited, like Paul, to see what he turns into.
So I'm the wrong one to ask about this because I revere Jordan at the highest level.
Yeah.
It feels sacrilegious. It feels blasphemous. It feels so unfair to this kid to even start with it, because he just hasn't done enough. I give you the early flashes of, I can see a little bit of that early Jordan. And maybe I'm prisoner of the earliest moments because I was there at courtside that night in 1982. Unfortunately for you, you're watching
Georgetown.
At home.
I was
crying
little kid
at home.
Crying, 9 years old.
And some kid named Mike Jordan, that's what he was called, Mike Jordan. I don't know, Dean Smith calls the last play for Mike Jordan, a freshman. And you know what happened. He called game, and he hit that shot, and that launched him. He announced his presence that night. You couldn't see it yet, but that was the early announcement. So
I'm upset all over
again
right now. Thank you for bringing that up.
All right, so I watched Anthony at Georgia playing for Tom Crean, they don't have a very good team, but I'm watching. I'm just trying to see what I see. And I see really raw. I see explosive, but I see completely unskilled at that point because they were so bad. They went 5-13 in the SEC. They went 16-16 overall and didn't play in the postseason, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know. Really? Is he that? Is he worth that high pick? And yet, I never liked this Minnesota team because I wasn't sure if Gobert or Cat had that dog in them. Mm-hmm. But this kid has a whole lot. He's got like two or three dogs in him that is making up for the rest of them. He is showing them how to be a dog, that dog. And he's giving them a swagger they've never had.
Right.
He's given them a fourth quarter closer they just did not have. Mm-hmm. They got all kinds of tall talent, but they don't have that. And so I'm going to give you all the above. But even at Georgia, he shot 29% from three. And I thought, well, he's going to have to work hard on that. And it started off slow at 33. Then it went to 36, 37, a little back to 36. Mm-hmm. He's credible now, but he ranks, since he came into the league, he's 188th out of the 243 who are ranked. So he's a, let's say, to be nice about it, he's a below average 3-point shooter, except all of a sudden in these playoffs, in these five games, he's made 44%. Right. Can he keep that up? Probably not 44, but if he keeps it around 40, we're going to have another conversation because they are going to go places because in the end, your stars have to make threes. I don't care what you say, it becomes, in many cases, a three-point shooting contest where the stars have to shine. That's why my problem with James Harden, every time it's time to make threes, he doesn't make threes. He'll score points other ways, but as you know, in the end, in these games, you got to make your threes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to make enough to have a that's why I just picked Oklahoma City. They just make their threes. They got to make them now against Luka and Kyrie. Can they do it at the highest level? Well, they did it all year. That's basically how they won the West, playing good defense, too. So, to me, I'll give you early flashes, but I got to see a whole lot more because all he's got out in front of him is, I got to go win six finals with six finals MVPs. I don't know. I mean, is that fair to say?
No.
It's also not reasonable anymore, right? Because the league has changed so much. There's a reason we make a line, right, between like the Bill Russell Celtics and the modern era of Jordan or Kobe, right? Because the talent level in the league was very different. And by the time Jordan got there, it was a more competitive league. I think it is a much more talent-rich league now than what Jordan and Kobe dealt with. I mean, the international influx into the game is undeniable. You are now getting the world's best athletes playing in the NBA. There's a meme that's been going around where it's a young LeBron talking to an old LeBron. It's like a still from a commercial, right? And the old LeBron is saying in the meme, he's like, go back in time and find a young Nikola Jokic and convince him to take up horse racing full time. Well, guess what? There was decades where that would have been what Nikola Jokic went and did. He wouldn't have given that much thought to the NBA. That's not the culture that was there. And now all of a sudden you have all these international players coming and you look at the guys who have won MVPs. These are international players, international player over the recent years. And don't forget, Victor Wembanyama is coming. So I absolutely believe in Anthony Edwards, and I'm sitting here and saying he reminds me of that young Jordan. But Victor Wembanyama, mark my words, is going to be a huge presence in this league. And that is, again, the international game.
Okay, so if I ask you right now, put you on the spot, greater impact for his career, Wimby or Ant-Man? You're going to go...
I'm still going Wemby. I believe in Victor Wembanyama is going to be a top five, top 10 player of all time.
It's hard to argue because he's seven, whatever he is, four.
Like health injuries, I don't know. Obviously, that's a thing, but
he's like a foot taller than Anthony Edwards.
The raw materials are better.
I'm going with Anthony Edwards because, you know, it's more than his ability. And, of course, Wemby has the skill set that we've never seen.
Never.
But when you have a play and an attitude that's infectious, that carries no matter where you go. You know, you can be the most talented player on the planet, but when you have that Magic Johnson, Jordan infectious, Kevin Garnett infectious type of playing attitude, that travels. And it uplifts organizations, cultures, and teams. And so he's going to be able to take that everywhere. And so I'm going to go with him.
Okay. All I know is Michael Jeffrey Jordan was the coldest-blooded basketball assassin I've ever seen in any sport, actually.
Of course.
So does Anthony have that? Will that grow in him?
I think it's at the infant stage right now.
Right.
We're already talking about his killer instinct.
Right. I want to kill everyone in front of me.
I want to kill everybody in front of me. Was that not Jordan-like?
Yeah.
We're talking about face of the league. Was that Jordan? Look at the things that we're putting in front of a young 22-year-old. It's in the infant stage right now. It may be even embryo stage. We don't know.
Embryo.
It's in the embryo
I'll
stage.
Give you, embryo.
You know.
It's all right.
But it's coming.
Good question.